What's happening, everybody? This is DJ Heartblake. We got another one coming right down the track at you. But first, we got a caller on the line. Caller, what you calling for?
Hello?
Yo, caller, you're on the air. What do you want?
Am I on?
Yo, caller, this is the most techno house ever. Do you want to hear?
Do I need to turn down my radio? Am I on?
Listener, we are pre-recorded. Do not worry about feedback. What do you want to hear?
Do you have the new Jacksonville Lizard Kings track?
Which one is that?
Counting tiles in the Lincoln Tunnel by the Jacksonville Lizard Kings.
All right, listener, I'm going to send it to you straight. That song sucks. That blows. You're off the air now.
Fuck you.
And then there's a toilet flushing followed by some beep boop beeping, and then we break into April Fool's Day.
Soundboard.
hello and welcome. Gaiden Podcast for April 1st, 2012. What's up?
He's Nick Korn.
I don't remember. Man, so I
and
got
I'm
this job
Ryan Truitt.
So I got this job now?
Yeah.
Hold
on. I ask you something? Because my father asked me this the other day, and I realized that I was a terrible friend. What's this job that you have? What's the job that you do?
I use Photoshop for 8 hours a day.
It is a graphics job. Okay.
Yeah. So far, the only thing I've done is I've looked up, like, every sports logo and then went out to find a bigger version of it and then save that.
Yeah.
Like, I've created high-res, or rather sought out high-res versions of the sports team's logos for the sports ball for NHL, NFL, soccer, football, tennis, some golf things, major and minor leagues, auto racing. I found the logos for horse racing tracks.
Yeah.
I've had to rebuild a couple. I think I rebuilt, it was like the Save Mart 300 logo. It's actually like a really sweet, like, flame logo.
Is whatever company, like, you're working for, do they want you to rip them off, or are they working for all these people?
No, it is a news channel.
Oh, okay.
And so, like, whenever they're going to talk about stuff, because, like, that's the project that they needed more, you know, force for, is they're making a changeover from standard to high def.
Oh, so now they need high res things.
Yeah, but like, you know.
So you're in the business of up-resing things.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Wow.
I do that this week, 8 hours every day, the whole week, just up-resing sports logos.
What a fantastic world to live in.
But I did it. Next week I go in, I put them all into the system, and then I start cutting celebrities out of photographs. And I will do that probably for 2 weeks.
Oh, that's amazing.
I think it's terrible.
It's fantastic.
But it's also great because I had 10 episodes of all of my podcasts on my iPod.
Okay.
I went through them all.
Yeah.
Like, they're all gone. So I've started, there's this website I found that's like an open source project to make audiobooks.
Oh, wow.
So they just get
kind of like
volunteers.
A Gutenberg thing.
Yeah, well, that's what they do. Is they take all the Project Gutenberg like open books.
Oh, and then just have people record them.
Yeah, people volunteer, and then everybody like takes a chapter and records them.
Cool.
The one I'm starting with is Count of Monte Cristo.
Oh, good
and
book.
Then going into like Dracula, and I picked up Byron's Don Juan because Don Juan.
I should look into that actually, because since I also have a job where I drive around a lot. Like yesterday, I was in like South Jersey to put up like a bench and stuff.
Yeah.
Like I went so far south in Jersey and east, I suppose, that like the ground started to turn to sand.
Wow!
Like I was right on the shore, apparently.
Yeah.
Like I was driving along, it was like either 70 or 17 or some shit for a while, and I was just like, "Is this fucking Florida?" Because all of the trees are really short and bendy, and the ground is sand. It was still cold, though, so it wasn't
Florida. Probably
not
Florida.
No. It also
was it hurricaning? If it was hurricaning, it might have been Florida.
There weren't any hurricanes or geckos.
Okay. Probably was not Florida.
There weren't any, like, cockroaches the size of my feet either, so no big deal. but like I've started just looking for more podcasts to listen to, which the recent developments over at the Maximum Fun have made me happy because I'm just like, oh, two more shows to listen to. Okay.
Yeah, I'm probably going to throw in a fiver this month so that I can pick up like bonus episodes and stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's more content to listen to.
Yeah. I haven't watched any of those Riff videos yet, but they sound pretty awesome. But yeah. You can't watch those while you're driving, so they're of no use to me.
Except it sounds like one of the ones is actually one on posture, which, as somebody who has watched a lot of Mystery Science Theater, I'm pretty sure the MST3K guys actually did that exact video, if it's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
How many videos on posture are there?
Well,
Like the old, like, you know, black and white voiceover educational style ones about, like, do you stand up straight? If you don't stand up straight, you'll be a communist when you grow up. And that's, you know.
If you're all slouchy, that shows your loose morals. Stand up straight,
yeah.
Kids. Or you'll grow
basically
up to be a slut.
There was another one about, like, just like, going over, like, how you should stand. Like, okay, so it wasn't exactly on posture. It was about the way you present yourself, like, when you're doing public speaking.
Okay.
And that had a lot to do about standing and, about here's where your feet should be, so that way neither foot gets more tired, so you don't bounce back and forth. That makes you look not insane.
As a dude who's done marching band, I can tell you that there are correct and incorrect ways to stand around for a long time. I never passed out due to heat stroke, but other people did pass out due to heat stroke.
Jeez, that's not great.
No.
I think that almost happened during our high school graduation.
This is the most fascinating thing we've ever recorded, I think.
Well, we had that goof, and now we're coming down, and now we bring it back up. Because when I go on lunch break, I've been playing some ZHP.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, some Zetai Hero Man Project, the Unlosing Ranger versus Dark Death Evil Man.
That is a good game. I do not know why I removed it from my PSP.
It is a fantastic game. I think, like, that game, I think is possibly, like, one of the best games that those guys have made, because it's Nis America for the art, at least, and they're, like, is that the whole team behind Disgaea and Phantom Brave and all that? Or is it, like, different game people and just the same art dudes?
I honestly don't know. We could do a little quick fact-checking.
Nah, it's a Gaiden.
Okay. I mean, it's those guys. It's published by Atlas, you know.
It's probably those guys.
Yeah, it's probably that team.
But yeah, like I've been playing it, and I realize I really, really like it because it's, like, the fastest-paced one of those games that those guys have ever made.
Well, I mean, it is pretty different because it's not like a tactical game. Like, it's... Oh, damn it. Nipponichi Software website, shut up. Because it's not like a tactical game. Like, it's a grid-based, roguelike kind of sort of thing.
But at the same time, it kind of is a tactical game.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all about figuring out, like, the right path, how can you sneak up on people, throwing items at other dudes. You can only hold so many items.
Yeah.
And, like, but also, like, and while I was at Genericon, I was talking to this guy who was trying to make his own, like, war tabletop game.
Okay.
Tabletop war game. That's the one. And he was talking about, like, he was into Warhammer 40K, and then he got a job, so he wants to play a similar game that takes a lot shorter time to play.
Mm.
And, like, talking with him, it was just like, well, basically all you got to do at that point is, like, knock down the number of units that each player needs to, like, make decisions for.
Mm.
And that's exactly what they've done here. So it's like, it's...
Oh, okay.
It feels a lot like all those other games, but you're only making decisions for one character. So
yeah.
It just flies. And I really, really like that. Like, sometimes I get to work nearly an hour early. I'll just sit in my car and play through, like, two dungeons. It's pretty great.
Man, I kind of miss that game. I have a bad habit of starting, like, Nisoft games and never finishing them.
Yeah, me too. But this one just, it flows, and they do a good job of, like, the first time you go through an area, it'll give you the story beats.
Yeah.
But then the next time you make that level change, it doesn't give you that story beat, and it only shows you new ones.
Yeah.
Like, they've done, like, a pretty good job of, like, figuring out play flow.
Yeah, because the game is, like, really sort of grindy, because the progression is weird. Like, every time you die, and you will, like, do that pretty often, like your level gets set back to zero, but you, I forget what it is. You can keep equipment sometimes, so you have powerful equipment, and then you upgrade like this weird map of like your body, and then you put stat boost stuff in it.
Well, yeah, like that's part of the problem.
So, like after a while, you're level one again, but you're more powerful at level one than you used to be.
It's this weird thing about like there's a couple of ways that they try to explain things that kind of just fall flat. Because like every time you go through a dungeon, when you finish the dungeon, whether in success or failure, it resets your level.
Yeah.
But it adds to like your base stats, so your reset level will be higher, like rebirthing in Mabinogi or something like that. If you die, you lose all of your items as well. That's the only thing.
Right.
But it's okay because you can like keep a lot of items in storage at home. Even more if you give money to your pretty wife, dude. Like
after
that
a while,
shadow.
Do you start out with like a monster daughter, or do you get a monster daughter later?
No, she's there. I don't know what she's good for.
Me neither.
Okay,
I think she just complains. It's pretty fantastic.
But yeah, like that Shadowgram thing. That's interesting because like. Like, I was sitting on, like, a couple of equipments to be like, oh, yeah, I could just take this equipment next time, you know, if I die, because that's kind of how I play games like this, is I just don't give a fuck about dying, usually.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, well, I've been sitting on this, and either I use it in a dungeon and chance losing it, or I just throw it into my Shadowgram, which is what they call the, like, body modification system.
Yeah.
You're in the zone of my 8 Shadowgrams. This one gives me short defense bonuses.
You're in the zone of, like, the hero training dimension, where they go between episodes.
Bizarro Earth. Bizarro Earth. It's exactly on the other side of the sun from Earth on the same orbit, and that's why you never see it.
Yeah.
Like,
that game's really good. Like, the writing is so enjoyable.
It's... Like, the writing is great, but, it's kind of, like, in the sense of, like, if you try to give somebody, like, a very quick, vague setup for the story, you are giving them the entire story. Because they don't really do much more than that in the game. It's like, there's a super baby who's going to save the world, but Dark Death Evil Man is going to try to kill the super baby, so the Unlosing Ranger is going to fight him. The Unlosing Ranger gets hit by a van and dies, and passes off the title to you, a random bystander. Now you have to go fight Dark Death Evil Man. You're bad at it, so the World Hero Organization transports you to Bizarro Earth, and you train there for the final boss fight with Dark Death Evil Man. The opening of the game. It's like warning: this game has only one battle in it. We please hope you'll understand.
Yeah, and then you fight that battle, and then you lose.
Yeah, but like that's just this weird idea. It's just you're fighting this one battle the whole game, and just keep coming back to it. Like the actual like individual like in between writing. I would be getting sick of it if you didn't have the Unlosing Ranger with you, or his ghost, all the time.
Yeah.
And he's just like, when he's like, here, you can use the tank parts to not get hurt by spikes. And he's just like, no, tank legs are for third-rank characters, at best. And I didn't notice that they gave me a set of tank leg parts, and so I didn't use them. So when I finished it, he was just like, all right, you have upheld the honor of the Unlosing Ranger by not equipping tank parts. Thank you.
I just like all of the like the weird incidental characters who like kind of root for you and like just kind of complain about you for the entire game.
Yeah, well, because like every time you like interact with somebody's Bizarro Earth version, then like the one back on Earth suddenly regains hope in you, and that's kind of like a cool hook.
Yeah, it's kind of like what was that? Dark Shadow? Was it Dark Shadow where like you rescue dudes and they build a town?
Dark Cloud.
Dark Cloud, that's it.
Dark Cloud.
And also that other game for the SNES that had the weird ending.
ActRaiser?
Nope. Soul Blazer. It's kind of like Soul Blazer.
Soul Blazer. Oh, man. That's a great sounding game.
It's pretty cool. But, like, you would go through dungeons and, like, rescue people, and then it would make them, like, them and the part of the town that they used to live in come back into existence.
Hmm.
I don't know. It was pretty cool. That's a good game.
Yeah. What, Shadow Blazer? Or ZHP?
Both of them.
Or both.
Both okay. of them. Spotlight. You know what else is a good game?
Armor Core?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Armor Core.
No, finish your thought, though. Finish your thought.
No, no, my thought was just I've been playing that on my lunch break and just waiting for the end of the day and this weekend that we're on now to play a whole shitload of Armor Core.
Okay.
Oh, God, Armor Core.
So Armored Core 5 came out.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time I bought a game brand new.
Me neither?
Might have been...
I bought Dark Souls late.
Might have been Mass Effect 2? No, I probably bought that late.
I bought Mass Effect 1, like, last month.
You've been playing through that, right?
No.
Oh, you've been playing Armor Core?
I've been playing other things.
So I don't know about you, but Armored Core is pretty great.
I almost want to talk about how Mass Effect just isn't, like, engaging me. Like...
No, the first one is super weird. Like, I've heard arguments that it's better written in the sense of, like, the things that happen and character motivations and stuff.
Yeah.
But the way I remember it is just, like, nothing was really, like, impactful. Like, that game is better if you're somebody who, like, reads all of the codex and basically likes reading more than you like playing video games.
I've read a lot of the codex, and, like, I like the fiction that they're building up with, like, you know, weird used universe stuff that civilizations are just kind of coming upon and, like, using, and it's really, like, kind of ominous, considering where the, you know, obviously, you know, we all know where the series goes by now. But just, like, the writing that goes on during the course of playing the game, like, I remember hearing that, like, the bit with the Turian was, like, super good.
There's a couple of bits with the Turian.
There's a couple of bits with the Turian? Or not the Thorian.
No, the Super Turrican.
That was a good game. No, the Thorian. Oh. The plant that, like, mind-controlled the colony and everything.
I remember that. But I remember that because I was, like, really combat-heavy, and then there was one choice at the end of it.
Yeah.
No, that's not true. There was also a part where you had to play Towers of Hanoi.
I don't remember that.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe they took it out. Weird.
But, like, I went through the whole thing, and, like, the colony was under attack and stuff, so I shot a bunch of the Geth, and then I talked to the people, and they were like, you have to go up there in the building and kill the Geth. And then along the way, I met some more people, and they were like, I'm a dickhole. I'm going to defend the company and stuff. And someone else was like, no, my daughter's in there. We can't just burn down the building and everything. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, you're talking about that colony where it was really shitty and on fire all the time.
It was really shitty and on fire all the time. And I get to the bit with the Thorian, and it was like, oh, it was mind-controlling the colonists. That's why everyone was acting weird. Except I didn't know that everyone was acting weird, because I never interacted with the colonists, because I got there, and they were like, okay, you need to go fight the Geth. And I'm like, okay, I'll go do that. And I didn't even realize that there were other people around.
See, I just had a really shitty time with that particular encounter because, like, on your way out when it's like, oh, everybody's being mind-controlled, we really shouldn't kill them because they're not actually assholes.
Did you immediately throw all your grenades at the first ones that showed up that weren't mind-controlled people? Because that's what I did.
The first ones weren't even mind-controlled? Because, like, they
were, like, the creepers or something? Like,
or the husks or something? Or
no, the husks are the Geth
the
dudes.
Weird one.
No, they were like Thorian creepers or something. Like, I went and like those show up, and then I'm like, oh no, throw all the gas grenades. And then I waste them all, and by the time I had, like, my companions had just killed them all, and they were like, oh, there's no way that those were just people, you know, that no amount of whatever could do that to somebody. And I'm like, oh, well, I just used all my grenades. Guess I'm going to, like, reload a save from an hour ago.
No, not even that. Just, like, I actually was using them on the colonists, but there was this, like, I did not have enough to go through, and so when I ran out of grenades, I was just like, all right, I won't kill anybody else. And I just ran to the end, but it didn't let me, like, continue until the colonists had been dealt with, though it didn't give me an option but to shoot them. Like, that was the other thing. Like, a lot of the like, I won't say it was buggy, but there were, like, some weird decisions made on how things, like, flow.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
But, like, just when you got to the end of that, and you're like, there's the Thorian, and it's, like, vomiting up an Asari person, and I'm like, what? Why? What? What is this?
Right.
Oh, it had captured an Asari at some point and, like, was cloning it inside of itself. And it was, like, talking to me through it, but it was just like, I'm big and old, and I'm gonna kill you flesh thingies.
Yeah,
and
no,
my option, like, my choices in the conversation were, like, fight it or fight it after another bit of dialogue.
Yeah. No, I mean, it
like,
does...
I kept losing that fight, so, like, I went through all of the different dialogue options I could, and there were literally no other outcomes aside from one time you try to reason with it, and it takes another, like, click through the dialogue for it to fight you.
That game, like, doesn't get really interesting till maybe the third quarter, and even then I think it gets boring again by the end. But then again, like, the third quarter is also where, like, you start really, like, getting, like, to the fringes of the galaxy and finding all those extra planets and stuff. And even then, some of those are kind of lame, but, like, you go to the moon and fight an evil AI, and it spits out, like, when you kill it, it spits out a little bit of binary code, and then if you go and translate it, it's just like, ow, that hurts, please help me, and then it dies. Like... Like, there's just interesting stuff to find out in the world, and they did that well, because they're good at, like, building a world.
Yeah.
But, you know, they just had so much problem with, like, pacing and, like, I never got, like, just the way that, like, it was all talking heads. Like, they had that RPG problem of talking heads. Where in the second one, they fixed that, and people actually move around, and it looks more like you're watching a movie during the cutscenes, and that was really well done. I'm still waiting to get my hands on the third one and see what's going on there. I couldn't listen to Dave and Joel's episode this week. Ah!
I forgot if I did or didn't. I think I did.
Well, they start by saying, yo, this is a huge ME3 spoiler cast, so...
Yeah. I don't think they got so much into it. Do you care about, like, Mass Effect spoilers? Because...
I do.
Okay.
Only because at this point, I've not heard so much, and that's one of the rare times I care about... Well, like, you know, it's Mass Effect. Like,
yeah.
Like, if you can tell me about how the systems and stuff work, I'm fine with that. But, you know, it's a game built around the story, so as cold as I can go in, I'd prefer it.
Okay. We won't talk about that then.
Yeah.
We
should talk about Armored Core, because Armored Core is fucking awesome!
Armored Core 5 came out, and it's, like, super dope.
It's everything Armored Core 4 should have been and fucked up at being. Like, straight up, like, a targeting reticle?
Yeah, a lock-on zone, targeting reticle.
Menu systems at work? I mean...
I'm going to be honest, like, I kind of miss a lot of the things from the PS2 versions. Like, mm-hmm. I don't really like how they integrated all the HUD stuff, like, directly onto the reticle, so it's only the one thing that you have while you're in, like, normal mode or whatever. But, like, at the same time, it does clear up the view and everything, and that's pretty nice.
Well, that's the thing. It just makes it too easy, because now all the information you need, like, it's only relevant information, and it's all right there. I miss the big, like, you know, temperature energy gauge that takes up the entire side of the screen.
And, like, the heat.
Like,
that's not really around anymore.
Yeah, true. I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah, wow, that's not...
But
I mean, there are heat weapons, but that's just chemical weapons.
Yeah, but then there's also, like, you know, now there's three different kinds of damage types and stuff. So it's like there's complexity in other places instead.
Yeah.
Which, and, like, all sorts of, like, new equipment types and stuff.
I still haven't bought an ultimate weapon. I need to get back online and buy one of those.
I think you need to go through the campaign first before you get it. Like, I think you unlock those after you do story missions.
Really? Because I thought I saw in... I know there's something about, like, as your team... The whole team dynamic is interesting, too.
Yeah. So when you start Armored Core, like, you have to join an online team. And then the parts you can buy in the shop are based on, like, your team level and stuff.
Yeah. Which is pretty cool, because then if you join in, like, an established online team, you just get a really nice-looking store immediately. Like, I've gone from playing online to I've been playing offline a little bit just because the big TV is not near the internet.
Okay.
And so, like, my...
That's a shame.
What is it? Last time I saw the Gas Giants, they were at level 71, and I think I knocked them up...
We're, like, 86 now.
Okay, well, I was going to say, I think I knocked it up a couple levels by myself, because there was one night where I was the only person from that team logged in.
Yeah.
And we went up, like, three levels that night.
I did that for, like, the first two... days that I played, like, I didn't really see anyone else online, but I went through 60 of, like, the order missions, and so, like, everyone came back after the weekend and was just like, whoa, we got the achievement for being level 50. And I'm like, yep.
You're welcome.
Did that.
Yeah.
But then so I come back like after the week and suddenly we're level 85.
Which, if we're going to play online later, we should go back to doing the story missions.
We should.
Okay, so that one that we were doing the other night where we got wrecked at, by the end.
With the train?
Yeah. Yeah, I went back to that immediately afterwards, and I beat the train.
Yeah, so, I've beaten the train.
That train was ridiculous. So we're equal
I actually,
now? Because I've just been offline playing order missions.
I did the mission after it with somebody from the Gas Giants today, number 44.
Oh, okay. He's been on a lot,
yeah.
Whoever he is. Yeah, he's I think he's one of the Canadians.
Yeah, I was going to say, he has some kind of an accent.
He's like one of the only ones I've actually heard, like, murmur things now and then.
Yeah. No, we fought, like, at the mission after the one with the train, there is a big boss battle at the end, and we were both just kind of freaking out during it. It was pretty rad.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. Man. We got to get on some of that. Because yeah. I think I'm on, like, order mission. I probably just about hit 30 at this point.
Yeah, I think that's probably when it starts sending, like, tag teams at you.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, like...
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. And it's,
man.
The weird thing is that they're typically all kind of the same. It's like, okay, this one is a sniper, and this one runs around. Or like, okay, this one is a sniper, and this one has heavy armor and runs around.
No, I've actually been reading those short descriptions of the dudes coming up. Not that I actually use that information to change my mech, because I have also because when I'm playing offline, like, I have better equipment than the store offers, so I've never needed to, like, buy anything new.
Wait, what?
Well, because I bought my stuff in the online store, and now that I'm offline, like, okay, so if you
start
off...
I didn't realize there was that kind of distinction.
There is. So when I first started, okay, so when I first turned it on, I had, like, custom privacy settings set for my account. I think because I told it, like, don't let the Kinect, which I don't own, pick up my voice or something. So it said, you have communication restrictions on your profile starting in offline mode. So I had to go in and change my communication settings before it would let me go online. I didn't realize that, so I started, and it was like, here, you know, start a team. And I was like, all right, I'll start one. Maybe I have to join it later. So I started an offline team, and it keeps track of that separately. So, like, my offline team is DKO, and we're at, like, level 7 now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's weird.
And it grays out, like, every option on that main menu except for start mission. Like, everything else is completely gray. It's except conquest. I don't know if there's, like, an online or offline conquest thing.
Well, I mean, a lot of the conquest missions, they, like, you kind of just fight against, like, static defenses that the teams might have invested in, so it might just generate that stuff for you.
Yeah.
So it's just like, if you want to do a mission where you, like, try to shoot down helicopters, we'll make up some helicopters for you.
Well, yeah, I want to play around with that a bit more, even though I just love shooting robots in, like, the single-player missions. That's great on its own.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, like, there's no, like...
Have you tried doing any mercenary stuff yet?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
I signed up to be a mercenary a couple of times. That's kind of really fun.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, because, like, you can't communicate with the people that hired you.
Which is... Well, I think you can, like, communicate with them on the briefing screen, but then once you drop in, that's it.
Okay.
I kind of really like that idea. It's like, you know, here are these guys, they will help you out... Maybe, because they're kind of just doing their own thing, and you have no control over them. But they are extra guns on your side.
Yeah.
And you can just sign up to be a mercenary. Like, and so, like, when you're playing a single-player mission, or, like, when you're playing any mission, I think it's whether it's offline or off, you can hire a mercenary.
Yep.
And it'll pull from actual people online. Like, that's a really cool system.
Wait, even if you're in offline mode?
Well, no, I mean, if you're in offline, you're not on the internet, so I haven't tried that, because why would I hire a mercenary? I have a giant robot.
Well, because then you get to, like, the arena missions where, you know, they start throwing pairs of dudes at you, and it's actually kind of tough if you let them, you know, like, pin you down.
It's okay. I'm just going to use the kick them in a dick button.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, I still didn't look that up.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh.
What's up?
You went away for a minute.
No, I didn't.
Hello.
I turned my head, maybe.
Oh, we got no, I just saw a thing pop up that said, hey, yo, internet problems for a minute.
Oh. Oh.
That was weird. So yeah, kick him in a dig button. That's my next topic. That's written on this note card.
Okay, okay. Oh, you have notes. Good.
Yeah, no. I got these note cards. wrote kick
and,
him in the
and
dick
one says kick him in the dick.
Yeah. Why not? It's a valuable asset to have.
Just keep that in your wallet, and whenever you're lost, you need a little guidance.
Now,
just
what
pull
do I
that
do?
Out. Like, oh, okay.
Kick him in a dick. Yeah, all right. And then tuck it back in there and proceed. Yeah, like I don't carry. I was looking at it because I was like, well, I have this charge attack. Let me try doing it, and it single hit kills most like small enemies.
There was actually a mission one time where I completely ran out of ammo and just had to attack like tanks until
yeah. Well, that's also why I went with the high output generator because then I'm just constantly recharging.
Yeah,
so like. By the time you come off of the boost from one, you've already recharged and you're ready to go on another.
Yeah.
That's great. Infinitely climb walls.
Yeah, that's weird. It's like the way you can't just jet yourself up anymore, but you can jump off of buildings. Like, jump off the sides of buildings.
Like, I really want to go down, like, a ledge of skyscrapers and just jump back and forth across the street,
yeah.
Like, going up a building. I feel like, I don't, like, it is kind of weird that you can't just jump straight up, and, like, before I realized how that button worked, I could not get out of water on one level.
Yeah.
But I almost feel like it gives it almost like a, is it weird to say it gives it, like, an Assassin's Creed kind of feeling? Where, like, he's like, all right, I want to get above this guy. What's a building that will get me to about the right height?
So and I think the whole point is that they wanted the terrain to be more meaningful, which is also why, like, the ACs are, like, half the size now.
Yeah. And also, like, you don't, like, you can't, like, just fly. So there's a lot of cases where it's like, well, I can get, I made it up to this roof. I want to get all the way over there. But, like, you have to plot out plot out a route across rooftops that you can reach.
Yeah.
Which, like, that's really fun, actually.
It also, it helps,
a little bit of it.
Like, differentiate the legs and stuff now, because, like, the whole point of reverse joint legs is that they're just fucking springs. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of want to play around with those, but they don't have a strong kick 'em and dig value as
they probably
the
don't.
Heavy bipedal legs.
They probably don't.
No, like, I was looking at it, they don't. Like, that's kind of the point of having heavy forward joint legs. Like, you get that little shield, but also you do 19,000 damage if kick him into dick. But then, like, you know, it's also hard to pull that off, because it happens at the end of a boost, so you gotta, like, line it up right.
At the same
time,
it's
risk-reward. It's
like,
great.
I also just like having the heat pile driver.
Yeah, like, that looks pretty great.
High-energy, anti-tank stick.
But that has ammo on it, doesn't it?
Yes.
So, like, well, what kind of damage you get on that, anyway?
A lot.
Like, are we talking double digits?
I don't know. It's not like a number pops up.
No, but I mean, like, when you're looking at it.
Because,
like, that
I
like,
don't
that was
play
like,
in... I have an old cathode ray television.
Can't really see numbers. Yeah. Right,
yeah.
Because I only looked into it because I, like, when I started playing around with that, I was noticing I was single-shotting guys, like, and even my sword was starting to take, like, two hits, and I was like, why am I using a sword?
Like, single-shotting ACs, or just, like, single-shotting, like, the story mode grunts?
The grunts, but, like, every grunt. So, like, those howitzer mechs,
yeah.
Like, I was getting them, the dudes with the shields,
yeah?
Like, just flat, even with the shield, like, in one hit.
Just bonking into them? Damn.
Yeah, just, yo, what up? Kick him into. Because
those guys
they
are
explode.
Basically the whole reason why I started carrying a blade.
Yeah, like, don't bother. Get nice legs and, like, that's the thing. If you want to keep, like, the mobility, well, yeah, then you should probably take a sword because you're not going to get that charge attack to go.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, I don't need this sword. I can carry two Gatling guns.
Yeah.
Or sometimes the sniper cannon I've actually started playing around with.
Yeah.
But you only get, like, it fires in 3-round bursts, and you only get, like, 5 bursts before it's used up. But then it automatically purges, and it loads up my other Gatling gun, so that's cool.
Yeah. Don't you also have to, like... Ah, damn it. I'm bonking my microphone. Hold on. Don't you also have to, like, stand still, and it goes into a first-person camera and stuff when you use that?
Yes, that's one of the ones that does it. And it has a ridiculous reload time.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just kind of weird, because, like, you hit the fire button to go into the mode... But then you just move the left stick at all to get out of it? Like, it has that Armored Core sense of, like, why does this button do this in this situation? Like,
yeah.
Like the controls aren't completely, what's the word? They're not completely intuitive, so it's kept that from the old Armored Core games.
Not as much, though.
But also they fixed the problem with 4, where, like, sometimes it just wouldn't do shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you know the situation, it'll always do the same thing in that situation. But, like, there are less, like, distinct situations. Like, basically it's like normal mode, booster on mode, and if you're in normal mode, it, a lot of things will just turn the booster on for you.
I turn that off.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know you could turn that off.
Yeah, it's just a system option.
Well, I mean, why would you turn that off? Because, like, isn't it just, like, there's no problem to having the booster on all the time.
Drains energy.
No?
Energy doesn't come back as fast or something. I don't know.
Maybe. Well, I mean, you can always just drop it into scan mode and energy comes back really fast. Because I guess it turns off your weapon systems or something.
Yep.
Man, it's like you're piloting a mech. It's so great. like when you just talk about it, and like sort of like some of the system, like if they brought heat back, yeah, okay, missing heat is sort of a thing. But like the way the lock-on system worked, the the targeting reticule, and like different parts changing, you know, like how big or deep the lock-on range is,
yeah,
and the turning speeds and all, and like based on parts, that's back in there and still perfectly great. The menu systems are very simple now. They fixed that bit because that was that's what made me stop playing 4s. I just did not want to deal with those menus and all that bullshit.
Yeah.
But then what do you call it? Yeah, like the only like heat and just really complicated HUD. That's the only thing this game is missing. And you know what? For how fun it is and like just the way it's evolved, I'm okay with that actually.
Yeah. Because like you know it,
they
it's
put in a kick
in
the dick button,
like a kick in the dick button, and all the. Like, you can get, like, deployable sentry guns and jammers and stuff now. And also 5-on-5 team combat.
Yeah!
Like,
that's pretty great. Well, okay, so, like, the one mercenary mission I did, it was a dude with, like, one team friend, and he hired three mercenaries. I was one of them. And then we took on the other team, who were the attacking team, like, attacking their territory.
Yeah?
And that was a team of three.
Because I've never gotten into like a conquest mission like that with like other players. I actually haven't gotten any action yet.
No, it was kind of fantastic because like we had a little trouble at first because I guess he picked the wrong mission or something. But then we started and like as you go into the briefing screen, the whole screen just goes into like the red and yellow flashing, and it just says warning, warning, warning.
Nice.
Like territory in serious shit. And then it loads up into a briefing screen, and he was like, "All right, get all the mercenaries. We're going to be in here, and then we just go." And, like, it's
and
still...
And there were five dudes, you said? Was somebody, like, running the controller?
Somebody was in the controller spot, but I'm pretty sure we all had a mech. Like, I'm pretty sure we had five mechs on the ground.
Huh, okay.
I'm still not sure entirely how that works.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we gave them a really... Like, we didn't lose a single mech. I took minimal damage. It still works in the sense of, like, there's five objectives, but now it's like there's a defense team as well. As the whatever grunt mechs are going to be on the board. We just gave them a bad day.
Nice.
One of them was glowing purple. Maybe that's like a thing you can get.
Purple
he
glow?
Had the worst day. Yeah.
I know I got the Moonlight Sword, and it kind of just like throws off blue particles all the time when you have it equipped. It's pretty rad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So like maybe it was. Maybe he had like an over weapon or whatever.
Maybe. The only reason I noticed it is
I saw someone use one of those once. I got hired into a mercenary mission where apparently the guy just wanted me to
stand around.
Yeah, like it was just one of the arena missions where we were fighting like two dudes. Like I think he just wanted me there as a distraction because like once the mission started, he just stopped, like tore off both of his arms and turned into a missile silo.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to get back online and see what's up with those.
Because, like, I don't know if you know this, but a lot of the ultimate weapons, over weapons, what are they called?
Ultimate weapons.
Ultimate weapons, okay.
They're just called ultimate weapons. There's
they purge your arms.
That's great.
That's terrifying.
Well, I mean, come to think of it, I don't think I've like seen any of the, like, gun arm weapons.
Yeah, yet. I don't think there are any in this game.
So maybe it's trying to take like the place of that. But also it's cool if you just throw your arms off and then start.
I mean you see it in the first mission when there's like the guy with the Ripper Blade thing. Yeah. Like, when he activates that, it pops his left arm off.
It did, didn't it? Oh, man. That was like a weird... Oh, no, I'm thinking of Prologue, man. Yeah, no, that's pretty great.
Yeah.
He did rip his arm off. I forgot watching that. Oh, this... Oh. Can we just go play this game now?
Yeah, okay.
This has been content. I'll have to find a soundboard to do a little bit of editing on the front end.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic to be back on the podcast post Genericon. I know it has been kind of lax since then, but we've been busy with things. I mean, you basically are moved out of your house for the time being with this new job.
Yeah, 1 week of four down, assuming that they don't say, like, hey, we want to give you more work. I'm still trying to get used to this 40-hour-a-week thing. It's weird to come home and, like...
It's rough.
Have to go to sleep.
Like, the first week or two when I started, you know, full-time, like, I was in a rough place.
Yeah. But honestly, it's not that bad, because, like, at this place where I am, the art department, it's, like, me and the two normal guys, and that's the entire department, and everybody's in T-shirt and jeans... And there's, like, this whole, like, yeah, you got to take your lunch, you know, in between the third and fifth hour because we're a union shop and we got rules and stuff. And then I get in there and he's just like, it's just go whenever. I don't even go out to lunch. I just say I go out to lunch. he described it to me once. He was like, don't feel like you need to be locked at your computer all day. If you need to, like, go out or take a break or have a smoke or just flip people off in the street, just go do it.
Oh, that's nice.
So luckily, like, the one place where I am is, like, really lax. And it's cool because I just...
That's good.
I work on pictures all day and listen to every podcast.
Mm.
So it's manageable. I know that much. And so it's the weekend, so maybe if this comes out on Sunday night, I might do more streaming of Mario Portal. I did that like last week, and people said it was entertaining.
Oh, yeah, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, Mario Portal is crazy. Oh, and, okay, so when me and Jill talked about it, we didn't mention two things. One, I just straight up forgot. Mario Portal is like the Moonwalking Simulator Game of the Year 2011.
Yeah?
Because it's 2D, but you aim in that game, you know, like Liero.
Okay.
So if you're aiming left and you walk right, you just moonwalk.
Fantastic.
Entire stage.
Good.
And you can get everybody. You can get up to four players simultaneous moonwalking. And so that's pretty great.
I didn't realize it had Simo co-op.
Four player.
Local. Just local, I imagine.
That's the other thing. He already has network play, like, built, not entirely implemented. But I was reading his dev blog, and he has it, like, up and working, but in, like, only in, like, the debug setting. And he was like, I will just leave this out so we can get, like, a 1.0 release out. But he's working on it and wants to get it in a future revision.
Oh, cool.
Like, between the time it came out, which was Genericon weekend, and the time that we recorded about it, it went up to, like, 1.6 and fixed a lot of problems and added a checkpoint system, might have added a new hat or two. Like he's still doing, like, a bunch of work on it. And, like, I still think, like, that the combination of Portal and Mario is kind of dumb and not that interesting, but he's doing, like, a really good job on that game. And, like, he's actually working to fix things and make it better. So he gets major props for doing that.
Who is this?
Stabyourself.net. It's two guys. One guy does music. The other guy does everything else.
Stabyourself.net. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Actually, I'm going to check because, man, if he releases the one with NetPlay... I would stream with NetPlay.
Mm.
But, yeah, right. I've gotten up to World 8, and I'm stuck there. Like, I can't get up to the final thing. Oh, because, like, I don't know if you heard about this, but, like it's all of Super Mario Brothers, the original.
Okay.
Then he also built
like a set straight of, like, up, just those levels?
Like, those levels, rebuilt.
Now with portals.
Now with portaling.
Okay.
There's that. Then he built a special set of Portal-inspired levels, which don't have a time limit, have, like, puzzles, has, like, the laser bridges and the decontamination fields or whatever they're called, and buttons and doors and, like, all the stuff you remember from Portal. And
so when is this guy going to get torn down? This team? These guys?
I don't know. I hope it's not that soon,
because,
like,
because
a bunch
I
of stuff is already
Valve
happening.
Is not... I mean, they wouldn't be crazy about it. I mean, like, they wouldn't be, like...
Too insane about it. Yet,
yeah, but I know stuff. Nintendo isn't particularly friendly in these sorts of cases.
Well, okay, so something like that might happen, but I feel like he wouldn't have to do too much, because, like, there's already a level editor in there.
Yeah.
So people have been making, like, their own custom level sets with, like, custom tiles and stuff. So theoretically, you could sort of rebuild the game, like... Because, like, the Mario engine has been built on its own, so you could probably, like, reuse that.
Mm.
But then, like, if you start putting new sprites, new levels, new ways that things
work...
Yeah,
just kind
of
excise
imagine,
all the Mario-looking content.
Like
if you had
one
to.
Of the things... It was, like, in the 0.4 or 0.5 update, he added a DLC section.
Oh.
So, like, it'll go and, like, show you some, like, featured level packs.
Oh, nice.
One of them is somebody already rebuilt all of the levels from Mario Brothers The Lost Levels, which
oh,
was, you know, the real Super Mario 2.
Yeah.
So when I'm done with World 8, I can move on to that. And then there's, like, another Portal-inspired pack that somebody built. And then there's one that is, like, a sequence of levels constructed by Fartzilla.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious about that.
Is that the title?
I have not looked into it.
Like, you look it up in the DLC section, and it's just like, here is a pack that contains a sequence of levels constructed by Fartzilla.
Yeah.
Author.
Yeah, that's
Fartzilla.
Basically how that looks. Fartzilla. So, yeah, there's that.
Cool.
Oh, there's 33 different hats.
Good.
Yeah, okay, he's still on 1.6. But, yeah, so that's... If you're listening today on Days Comes Out, check out my Tumblr, elcom.tumblr.com. I usually put live stream announcements up on there. Website, that's cool. I haven't gotten to use Twitter lately because I don't have Wi-Fi at work, so, like, that's really rough. So, like, I'm that's the worst thing is that, like, I don't get to communicate with anybody throughout the day.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's, like, there's a number of days I would prefer to have it that way. So,
yeah, I gotta say, like, the days when I'm working by myself, they can be really nice because I'm just driving around.
Putting in benches.
Not dealing with people.
Moving a shelf a foot.
Yeah. You should check out my new Tumblr project, justbonerthings.tumblr.com. Just get some submissions in there. Get this thing off the ground.
Okay.
I do have that URL firmly camped. I'm not doing anything with it. I'm sorry, Tumblr.
I actually just registered a new one today.
Yeah.
Heartblake.tumblr.com.
Yeah.
I think I'm only going to post Daft Punk songs and the theme from Beverly Hills Cop.
Just over and over again?
Pretty sure.
Okay.
I mean, that is sort of the genesis of that character anyway.
Just I don't know what that is. Put them up on SoundCloud and then just link to them like every half hour or so.
Yeah, no, that's about right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This has been a podcast. Thank you for listening, everyone.
We're going to go play Armored Core. Because fucking Armored Core.
You guys should go play Armored Core 2.
Yeah. Or another age.
Armored Core Silent Line was pretty good.
I think I brought Ninebreaker with me.
Oh, yeah? I never played Ninebreaker.
That was on myself. We have, like, so many Armored Core games.
That was, like, the really arena-y one, right?
I think that was kind of, like, mainly just arena, and also it had the dual-stick controls, so...
Ooh, gross.
I kind of like the dual stick controls, like,
nah, if it's PS2 Armored Core, it's got to be like, you know, shoulder buttons to look up and down and also shoulder buttons to strafe or whatever the ridiculous setup was.
Yeah, no, I think I don't even know, but that I love it. It makes it harder to do.
Yeah.
It's great. That is something that mech games should have. I'm okay to see that go because I can still hold two Gatling guns and jump up buildings and shit.
Yeah.
See you later.
Take it easy.
Recording stop.
I am also stop. Wait, do we want to clap or something so you know how to line it up?
Not too late.
Oh, damn it. I'm going to clap. All right, 3, 2, 1.